Hi, this is Carolina Caballero talking. Welcome to Conmovida. This is a new podcast to make you want to move, feel, and create. Back in September, I went to India to participate in a Buddhism retreat at Tushita Center, which is in the north of India in Dharamshala. And besides that, I had the joy to take part in different yoga classes, meeting different teachers and yoga studios and schools. So that was very special to me because 6 years ago when I did my yoga teacher training, I did it in the United States in Portland. And a part of myself, a part of me, felt like there was something big missing. And of course that part for me was the culture and the context in which yoga came into being. I really wanted to know more about that. So this time I was fortunate enough to also go to Rishikesh, which is known as a holy land. Rishikesh is a city which is divided into two by the Ganges, and the river gives it a tremendous and powerful force of life. Also because it's surrounded by big, beautiful mountains, the city is a very, very special place to be. And of course, there are a lot of yoga-related activities. There are beautiful temples, and there are also a lot of activities that you can do to explore nature. That being said, that means that being there and being able to practice there was very meaningful to me. So today I have a very special guest. He is Vikramjit Singh. He is the son of Surinder Singh, who is an international and popular well-known teacher in Rishikesh. Between the two of them, they run the Swasti Yoga Studio, which is a place where you can go practice and certify as a yoga teacher. In their studio, they teach general yoga practices, pranayama, meditation, and they offer workshops on asana alignment, which is really, really interesting and important in the practice. And they say that they tune their students into the real yoga, which for them is the yoga of compassion and action. I loved it. I really enjoyed taking classes there. The space is also very nice. So stay here, listen to the whole conversation. It's a really wonderful one to know more about yoga, the practice, and from the culture and city of Rishikesh.
Welcome to Swasti Yoga, and most important, welcome to India.
Yes, I'm super happy to be here because I always wanted to come and, I don't know, experience this land, the culture. Mm-hmm. You know, I certified in the United States 6 years ago, as I was telling you, and I felt that my journey wouldn't be complete until I visited like a place like this. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much for accepting this conversation with me again, and I'm super excited for people to hear about you.
Thank you so much for coming here and letting me speak on your podcast. Yeah. It's been a big honor for me.
Of course.
Thank you so much.
Okay, let's tell people a little bit about the school.
Swasti Yoga School came into its existence in 2014. So this school is a result of immense experience in teachings of Surinder Singh, my father. So he started teaching, I think, 21 years ago. And then finally in 2014, he established his own school to give his own creative teachings to all people. So this is the result of his effort and with the blessings of the God. So we always and always believe in blessings of the God. So this was more blessing and less effort.
That's great.
Yeah. So we say that we give always honor always to the God. So yes, actually this, the Swasti Yoga in which we are sitting and talking right now, It is situated in Rishikesh only, and nearby Ramjhula. So here we give daily drop-in lessons, drop-in classes on Hatha Yoga, and we give teacher training courses. And hopefully in near future we'll be looking forward to give more longer duration courses related to pranayama, related to yoga therapy and yoga philosophy and psychology.
Mm-hmm. Did you learn through your dad?
My initial learning was from my dad only.
Yes.
So I think from my childhood I was not that much interested, frankly speaking. I was not that much interested to have some to have something on yoga. But eventually when I started my college and when I did my graduation, so I was naturally attracted to this yoga. So
what did you go to school for?
I studied bachelor in arts. I studied psychology and sociology and public administration.
Perfect. And then you became interested in the practice of yoga.
Yeah.
And then you came back to your dad.
Yeah.
That happens sometimes, huh?
That happens sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. More often than sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's true. Mm. Yeah.
So I think the definition of yoga came with this experience with this experience of my life. So one of the definition of yoga is acceptance. So this acceptance, the sense of acceptance came from my father, that okay son, if you want to do anything, just do, don't worry, I'm not forcing you to come to yoga. So this acceptance, this definition of acceptance came from my father, and this acceptance made me very, very, very blessed that I started learning from him. So my initial training, yes, it was from my father only.
And can you talk a little bit about the lineage that your dad comes from?
We are coming from the lineage from the Kevale Dhamma. Kevale Dhamma is a school in Pune.
Mm-hmm.
It's a yoga school, traditional yoga school. So he studied there, and then I also went to study there. So we both studied there.
Perfect, yeah.
In different period of time. And so this is the main core we are holding. And we try to keep that sense of the tradition. We try to keep that sense of lineage while we are sharing something with
the
students.
Right, we were talking that was Hatha, right?
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about the Hatha tradition?
Hatha tradition.
What could you tell us about it?
Hatha tradition. So if we talk about Hatha, Hatha tradition has a very, very, very long history. So if we talk about the definition of Hatha, Hatha means Ha and Tha. If we try to break this word Ha and Tha, Ha and Tha has a very, very, very path-breaking philosophy about life. So if we take the example of text, it says sun, ha, and the moon, tha. Ha and tha. So combination of sun and the moon is the hatha. So when we are saying the combination is make, when there is a combination, there is a yoga. So hatha yoga. Combination of moon and the sun. Sorry, the sun and the moon is yoga. Hatha yoga. This is textual. Main thing how we do the practice is how we are balancing the sun and the moon in life. The forces within. So if we are saying that whatever is outside the universe, whatever is outside in the universe, it's the same inside my body. So external universe and the internal universe. External universe, everything which is outside my body is the external universe. Internal universe, which is everything which is inside my body, is internal universe. So the Hatha Yoga, and me especially, the yoga says how I am able to match the frequency from my outside universe with my inside universe. So from the practice of Hatha Yoga, yes, we are saying that how I am able to manage the sun and the moon within me.
Sun and moon are also associated with forces, right?
Exactly.
So the sun will be associated with
the activation, the energy.
Right, and the moon?
Moon is for the Shantam, the peace.
Okay.
As we are saying that the Sun is for the activation, Hatha Yoga says, if there is a need for the activation, there is a need for relaxation also.
Right.
There is a need for peace. Without peace, we cannot experience the energizing. And if we are so much energized throughout our life, we don't have the space to realize and reflect.
Right, we're burned out.
Exactly, we are burned out.
Yes.
So the sense of peace is very, very necessary. That is why, in order to have a beautiful life, in order to have a balanced life, we have to be energized and we have to be peaceful at the same time. Energized to do some action and then be peaceful to reflect upon our actions. So when we are reflecting...
To know how to act, right?
Exactly. To reflect on the actions, to know how our actions are.
Mm-hmm.
And in other words, it is something like a constant feedback mechanism with the mind. It's like, I did this action, what is it happening in my mind? Am I feeling good? Or if I am doing my action, how is my breath here? So can I just watch my actions so that my breath is not getting disturbed? Because Hatha Yoga also says, the establishment of Hatha Yoga has a pranayama in this also. So after the asana, pranayama happens. So can I maintain the same rhythm of my breath throughout my life? Or can I maintain the same rhythm of breath throughout my activities so that my chitta is simply gentle? And when I am having a gentle flow within my mind, I am more and more connected to my inner universe. So this inner universe is again watching and knowing the nature of your own sun and the own moon within you. So that is Hatha Yoga.
Beautiful. Okay, and you were telling me that this school is, it was set up with the intention to combine different practices. So what exactly can be offered here at the school?
In this school, we offer the Hatha Yoga practices and we give some pranayama practices and meditation practices. Mainly, the meditational practices are coming from different schools of yoga, especially Bihar School of Yoga and Swami Rama from the Himalayas. It is situated in Rishikesh only, their ashram. And the asana practice are coming from the typical Hatha Yoga tradition with some influence of Iyengar Yoga and Vinyasa Yoga.
Yeah, alignment and flow
sequences. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
And why an ashram here in Rishikesh? Is your family from here?
Basically, my family is from Punjab.
Okay.
I am also...
For people who don't know India or are not very familiar with the geography of the land here, can you explain a little bit how far it is from here?
Punjab is a northern state of India, and this Punjab, if we just break the words again, Punjab, Punj means five, Ab means river, so the land of five rivers is Punjab. So we have five rivers in Punjab, which is actually a fertile region.
Okay.
And from there, we migrated, my grandfather came here, and I was also born in Punjab, my father was also born in Punjab, my mother was also born in Punjab. And interestingly, all of us three are born in the same city.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was born there and then I came here with my family. And so we settled down here. Right now we are staying in Rishikesh only.
And what made us come to Rishikesh, if I can ask?
I think my grandfather came for the business purpose, for making the living, for the business.
And it was a yoga?
No, it was not. He was just a simple businessman.
Okay.
My grandfather was a simple businessman. And yoga came from my grandmother.
Okay.
So my grandmother, Gurdev Kaur,
it
was her name. So she was more into devotion.
Mm-hmm.
And my father used to just watch her actions. when she used to pray, when she used to sit calmly, how calmly she used to maintain her personality. How her persona was so subtle, and how her persona was so like more and more close to Chitta Vritti Nirodha. So in every situation, this is what my father used to, because I did not see my grandmother. So my father and my mother used to say that how she was able to maintain the ups and downs of life in a very calm and simple manner. I think this energy of keeping her calm, of keeping her simple and stable, came from her devotion, came from the trust she had in the universe, came as a result of the devotion. This is what we do in yoga also. Yeah, prayatna shaithilya ananta samapate abhyama. With due practice, with due efforts, at the last, our actions are very fruitful. This is it. So the yoga came to my grandmother, and then it passed on to my father, and from there, my inspiration is my mother and my father both. Today also, in my house, we live in a joint family, very big joint family. And my mother, she is a very devotee of, she reads scriptures always and always, and she is very particular about religion things and all. And my father is also very, very particular about religion.
And when you say religion, that means Hinduism?
Sikhism. Sikh.
Okay.
I am a Sikh.
Okay.
So I'm practicing Sikhism. Sikhism is one of the youngest religion of this world.
Oh.
It came into being in 14th century or 15th century, something like that. So, this is it. But we have.
Yeah, well, that's a lot. Thank you. I mean, it's very new for me to know all these things and what you're saying. But maybe that also leads me to the next question would be like, or I'm very curious to know like this relationship between yoga and the Indian culture, because maybe for some people, or for me at least, it's like this notion that everybody does yoga in India, you know, and once you come here, it's like not everybody and not everywhere, although it's very, I mean, if you come to Rishikesh, yes, you can see like schools everywhere and people doing it and people come here for that, but not everywhere in India the yoga practice is common. So if maybe if you can instruct us a little bit more about what's the relationship between yoga and the Indian culture, and why is Rishikesh like so famous about it, or what is special about Rishikesh that has made come many yogis here, and it seems like this is a land that has inspired lots of Jordans, right?
If you want to enjoy a very tasty lemonade?
Yes.
Yeah, you want to taste it, so we mix the ingredients, lemon, some salt, sometimes sugar, sometimes ice to make it cool,
mm-hmm.
and then we enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so different ingredients are coming together and we're enjoying the lemonade. If we talk about Indian culture and yoga, it's something like lemonade only.
Okay.
So yoga, today yoga is a profession,
mm-hmm.
but before times,
mm-hmm.
it was a lifestyle.
Right.
So when we are saying that it's a lifestyle, that means yes, yoga was practiced in each and every actions.
Mm.
So if we are talking about yoga practices in the past, so there were not too much of asanas or too much of different pranayama techniques. It was more and more meant for the yoga of action, the karma yoga. So how we are actually skillfully having the actions, the karmas in our life, that was the typical Indian culture. Right now we are also practicing that. Due to modernization, due to change of priorities, and due to change of everything,
mm.
now things are getting more and more distracted. But at the same time, the true essence is still there. It's like having a hemoglobin in your blood. So in our hemoglobin, we have the practice of yoga. Still, we have the hemoglobin. The practice of yoga in our hemoglobin.
Uh-huh.
It is something like that. So if you are talking about Rishikesh is Rishi and Kesh, again, the land of Rishis, the land of sages. So Rishikesh is a land of people who have been there since long time. If you want to enjoy an energy of something, if you want to enjoy, so we say that, oh, this energy, this place has a very wonderful energy. This place has something very new. This something is very positive. So what makes us to do? It is because of some actions of some people or because of some actions of some souls who did something in their past. But their essence, like it's like a sense of the perfume. It's like a sense of the deodorant.
Mm.
So their essence is still there. So we are actually living in the present, but we are enjoying the karmas, the past, the actions which the people, the pure souls did in their past, in the past time. We are actually enjoying the essence of their practices.
Mm.
That is why Rishikesh is so pure. Right now, in Rishikesh, we have the tradition of teaching yoga because we say yes, Rishikesh is the yoga capital of the world. It is there. It is also again because of the energy with all the past people has left with us. Just like Swami Shivananda. Swami Shivananda was a very great sage. He stayed there. He did his penance. If we still walk around all the areas just around Swami Shivananda ashram, you will feel a peace.
Yeah.
It's yes, exactly. It's like you are breathing in the perfume, the essence of Swami Shivananda, still that he is still there within us.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are saying that we are breathing in the essence of the energies of the people who were practicing there, that means the people are still living inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And when the people are still living inside of us, yes, we are so and so blessed that we are born in this country or we are born in this Rishikesh. And we are very, very fortunate enough that we are the torch bearers to carry this tradition of yoga forward
right.
to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So this is being very, very fortunate.
And how do you see now the modern world, like, because it has expanded so much. And
mm-hmm.
I feel, for example, I did I'm Colombian and
mm-hmm.
I did my yoga teacher training in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
The couple who owned the yoga studio, the woman was from the United States
mm-hmm.
and the guy was from India, which I felt a little bit like fortunate to have because he was able to explain lots of details about the culture and he was a little bit more about into the philosophy of yoga, which is great. Some trainees don't have that
mm-hmm.
depth when you do them somewhere else, you know. So I kind of felt like it was a first-hand view of that, which was great, but it's still like that. I felt like I'm so far away from the roots, you know. I don't really know exactly what this is about, and I feel like what we see maybe in the media or in the movies, it's like yoga seemed to be this very humble and kind of simple way of living, and now with the yoga industry it's like this very like glamorous world of like fitness, and you know, so it kind of like the message gets a little bit like twisted.
Yeah,
so how do you see, what's your opinion about that, being from here, having had that like pass through your family, having been raised in a culture that used to be in yoga or practice yoga all the time, and now I see all this boom that actually may be like twisting the message a little bit?
Well, honestly speaking, I don't feel that the message is being twisted. I think the message is being... it has been understood. It has been understood, how to say this. It has been understood very, very... in a very strictly manner.
Okay.
It is something like we are holding a glass and we are holding it so tight then we are not letting it to go away. So when we are holding the glass so tight, it is creating some tension in my muscles. Tension in muscle is very good, but having that tension all the time is not good. It is very harmful.
Yes.
It makes us very tired.
Again, like the sun and the moon.
Exactly.
Right?
So holding the sun, holding the moon every time is like, oh my God, I have to just do it something to just release it. This is what the current world is. I feel that the message of yoga is still there, people are still enjoying the yoga, but now we have to just look from another lens, because earlier time the occupation of the people were like more physical, like agriculture or farming or like raising the cattles and all, so their needs were very less. Their needs were very less, so exploitation was very less, demands was very less, no
demand
energy.
Wasn't as busy as it is now.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
So no chaos, no confusion. Okay.
It was more like the things that needed to be done and they were done, and
So earlier times, no industrialization, so less demands. Right now, because we have lots of demands, we have lots of industrialization, everything is there. And it's very confusing what to do, what not to do. We are always and always sitting in front of the computer. We are always and always sitting at the desk, doing something, forward bending, slouching the back, rounding the shoulders. Then the body says, brother, this is not good. You have to take care of your body. And then the disease comes. Then the disease comes, then some any problem, illness comes. Then we go to different doctors, different doctors of tradition, like allopathy, homeopathy, Ayurveda, everything. Sometimes we come into yoga also. So right now, the most of the people who are coming to yoga, they are coming for their own therapy.
Right.
Yeah, so they are coming for their own therapy to just heal themselves. Yeah, so... to heal themselves, first is the healing on the Annamaya Kosha, the physical body. Then going into Pranamaya Kosha, Manomaya Kosha, and then the Vijnanamaya Kosha, and then the Anandamaya Kosha. So first, in order to maintain a healthy life, I have to be very, very careful on my body. That is working on the Annamaya Kosha. So right now, because we don't have that much physical activities compared to the past, but we are still enjoying the same diet because our ancestors say this diet is very good. But right now, that diet is not helping us. Because their diet, the diet they were enjoying, it was according to their lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right now, we are not enjoying their lifestyle, but we are enjoying their food.
You mean like the meat and things?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, so that is why obesity, diabetes, hypertension, all these things are coming out.
We also have created lots of foods that we don't need, that's why.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So
it's like all diet that doesn't serve us anymore, plus the new.
Exactly.
The new sugar stuff have created.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then right now then, We are going for some yoga studios to just have some physical mobility in joints and glands. Then we are moving to the fitness level. And I'm very sure that yes, in modern times, we are going for some fitness, just like you're saying, a very big boon for the industry, like very professionally. Yes, it was meant to be like this.
Okay.
But...
you don't see any problem with that?
I don't see any problem, but I feel that... After some time, there will be again a realization. Carl Jung used to say that collective unconsciousness. So on a collective unconsciousness, it will happen that the purpose of life comes up, and this purpose of life is beyond physical fitness.
Right.
Because people are now like suffering from their physical fitness, mm-hmm. they are going to yoga to maintain their, so it is like a therapy for them. After some time, they are so and so enjoying their yoga. Now their therapy is getting evolved into the yoga path. Practice and yeah. path.
Yeah, you're right. It was actually, it's a beautiful way to put it, because it happened to me actually that way. Like, I started just going to a yoga practice because I was a dancer, and it helped me to stretch more, mm-hmm. you know, to be more flexible, yeah. gain strength, and it felt really good in that way. And little by little, the repetition, the practice, the physical practice, like, it starts leading you towards, okay, I wanna know more. What is behind this? And where are the teachings? Where does come from? And then that's how I got interested in certifying as an instructor. So it's true. That, and then I have talked to other people about it, and they also said, like, balancing the practice come from, like, also meditating, doing the work of service, like the karma yoga, all the other links that come around with just only practicing the asanas. Yeah, it's beautiful.
And moreover, talking about these different contemporary yoga styles,
yeah.
I feel it is like how you are preparing your food.
Mm-hmm.
So we have raw materials, like some veggies, some spices, or some oils and all. So it is up to you what you want to prepare.
Right.
So how tasty you want it to be? Or is it matching your taste buds?
Right.
According to your taste buds, we have innovated new yoga
yeah.
traditions, new yoga, contemporary yoga styles. But as again, the sense of practicing yoga is to be calm and to have the union within you.
And the balance, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it is not following which path, it is how effectively and how efficiently we are following that path.
Right.
So, you know, instead of posing for the Instagram, can I pose for myself just to know my body?
Right.
Instead of posing for Facebook or some magazine, yes, we can do it. It's not bad. But am I doing yoga to pose for magazine, or am I doing yoga to just know what my mind and how is my breath in this posture?
Yeah.
And what this posture is inspiring me? If I am doing Virbhadrasana, what this Virbhadrasana inspiring me? If I am doing Shirshasana, what this posture is inspiring me? I am showing my body to the people out there to promote myself. That is okay, because we have to earn the money to
yeah.
survive.
Yeah.
It's very true. But is it my only purpose of doing yoga, or it is something else? So,
well, there is something inspiring about it too.
Yes.
Yeah. I just wanted to know your opinion, because it's not that I see anything wrong,
mm-hmm.
Per se, like, it's mm-hmm. of course, and I'm from Colombia and I do it, so, but I also wanted to know, like, how do you see what is happening? And also, because I guess maybe also an expectation, or we create like these ideal images in our heads, you know, like, oh, I'm gonna go to India and then everybody's gonna be holy mans or holy women or whatever, you know, like, and then everything's gonna be so pure and blah, blah, blah. And then you find your teachers here being also from the West sometimes, you know, and it's like, oh, is that a disappointment or what is it, you know? And I have been thinking, like, well, maybe it's also because the world isn't anymore so separated anymore, you know, like, we travel everywhere, we can be different places, we work different places, and that's also the beauty of it, that now it's not so much separation, but maybe also like we have created like a community of people interested in the same things, which is great, as actually being able to unite around the same subjects and interests and practices, you know?
Well, that's a very pretty good point you were saying, that Yes, the world is connected.
Right.
The world is connected, and it takes only a few seconds to share some thoughts with all the people around the world. And I think this, through this connection, through this technology and everything, we are using this technology to promote yoga. And now again, the question comes, what is the motive of promotion?
Right.
Yeah. So if I am promoting yoga for fitness, yes, okay, go for it. Very good. If
just
I am
only a part of it, yeah.
It's only a part of it, exactly. Yoga is not only asanas.
Right.
Yeah, yoga is not about asanas. Yoga is beyond that. So yoga is saying, if you are doing something, are you flexible on your body or are you more and more flexible on your mind? Can you make your mind more and more flexible to accommodate in each and every situation and to simply enjoy the situation and try to learn something from that? So this is the, if we are using this technology to spread the yoga, this should be, or this can be a very, 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 very important thing. How be more flexible, how to bend the mind more and more forward to be more flexible.
Right. Yeah. What would it be your definition of yoga then? We were talking a little bit about that before we started recording.
Well, that in that context, I think the definition of yoga will be skill and acceptance.
Mm.
The skillness and the acceptance. Skillness is coming from the realization, and skillness is coming from the sense of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Sense of peace means I am knowing the reflections of my mind. I'm knowing the reflections of my actions coming in my mind. So when I'm doing something and something is getting reflected, that means yes, I'm having this sense of acceptance and skill. That skill is making me inspired how to face the situations.
Mm.
In other words, it is also, this skillness is making me how to change my practices, how to modify my practices to know my body. So if I am doing a triangle pose with both the arms, one arm up, one arm down, can I do the triangle pose in another way? How do I feel in my body? How do I feel in my mind? How do I feel in my breath? Is this particular modification is helping me? Is this particular modification is helping my mind to stay calm?
Mm-hmm.
So every posture may not be for everyone, but there is a posture for everyone. And this is what the essence of yoga therapy is.
Mm-hmm.
Yoga therapies also talk about this. How comfortable the practitioner is in their practice.
Mm-hmm.
This is the yoga therapy. How you make them connected with themselves,
mm.
This is yoga therapy. So from these practices, from the different modification, so we are not modifying the asanas, we are actually modifying the mind to try something new. This is again skillness. And when you're saying trying something new, then there is a sense of acceptance is also coming, that yes, I'm not rigid to one thing.
Mm.
I'm so and so open to explore something new.
So we put our bodies in a position so we can also change our way of viewing things.
Exactly.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That is it. This is what asanas inspires us.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about the 8 limbs of yoga so people can understand the whole wheel? That is not, asanas is a part of it, but it's not.
If we talk about the 8 limbs of yoga from Patanjali Yoga Sutra or Patanjali Yoga Darshanam, so it is Yamas, Niyamas, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi. Well, Patanjali was very clever.
Mm-hmm.
He was not clever in a bad way, he was very clever in a good way. So he knew the tendency of human mind. He knew that if I give something, and if I am giving only and only asana, that won't help them. That would help them in a very beginning, but it will take them nowhere. Yeah. So he tried to add the yamas and niyamas, the social values and the personal values. Yeah, yamas are the social values and the niyamas are the personal values, personal ethics. When I'm doing any yoga practice, when I'm doing anything, can I be more and more sensitive to my social values? Can I be more and more sensitive to my personal values? And when I'm saying personal and social values, that means, again, the sense of acceptance. When I'm doing the practice, am I more and more enjoying my posture or am I striving hard to achieve the posture as I saw in my book? Or am I enjoying my practice and my teacher is saying, watch your breath, stay calm, and I'm enjoying my practice in my class, but I'm actually doing some himsa, some violence in my society, or I'm doing some himsa, some violence on myself, because the first yama is ahimsa, non-violence. So can I live the philosophy of himsa and ahimsa in my daily life, day-to-day life? So this yamas and niyamas are the social and personal values we should observe. We are not saying we have to observe. Again, this is a very forceful statement. We should. That is a very open thing. It is up to you. You will realize that it's important when the time will come. Before the time, I'm so sorry, we cannot realize it.
Right.
Yeah. When the situation comes, we realize that thing. And that is why yamas and niyamas are the first two limbs of yoga, which actually does the prerequisite work to enjoy the asana practice. Can I have this non-violence in my asana practice without hurting myself? Can I have this practice of aparigraha, achieving so much of knowledge for my asana, so much knowledge of my pranayama practice, and just enjoying whatever I am receiving? Can I have this practice of aparigraha? Can I be more and more creative in my practice without copying the techniques of others? I'm learning something from other people, from senior people, from experienced teachers. I'm not copying them. I'm only and only learning that I'm inspiring myself to have something new for myself. Have something more creativity and skillful. What I said, yoga as a definition. Can I be more skillful in myself? The asteya. And so forth for the niyamas also. And then we talk about the asanas. Asanas again, something to do for the body, physical body. And if we take the example of some historical text and all, so we can see that actually in a one way we say that asanas, all sorts of standing asana, forward bending asana, backward bending asana, to just make your body prepare for meditative posture.
Oh, I really had my lesson at the Vipassana course. Meditating for 11 hours a day. I was so grateful for my practice, for my yoga practice, for my asana practice. You know, I was yes, this is what I've been working for.
Yes, exactly. Because as you go down the line from the eight limbs, last is samadhi. In samadhi, you cannot just roam around all way and then, no, you just have to maintain the stillness. To maintain the stillness in the mind, we have to maintain the stillness in the body.
You need a strong body.
Exactly. Yeah. We need a strong body, but a gentle body.
Right. Relax, more alert,
It is Sthiram Sukhamasana. Yeah, Sthiram Sukhamasana. It's a Patanjali Yoga, from Patanjali Yoga Sutra. It is a definition of yoga. Sthiram Sukham Asana. So Sthiram means stable. Sukham means blissful.
Right.
Asana means posture. Okay. Stable, blissful posture. Okay, now what?
Yeah, it's like in class. Yeah, if you hold it too tight as well, it will waste your energy.
Exactly.
In just one posture, and then you won't be able to do the whole class.
So sthiram sukham means stable. So if I'm clenching my muscles, I'm again stable. But if I'm relaxing my muscle, I am again stable. So what is stable for me? Sthiram Sukham Asana means when I am doing my asana practice, when I am doing my yoga practice, am I having this thought of coming out of this posture, or am I enjoying my posture for a long time as much I am doing?
Am I in the present? I am here, or I am wanting to leave this.
Exactly, or I wanted to leave and go for the another flow.
Right. Yeah, that happens.
Yeah. So sthiram sukham asana means, sthiram sukham asana means how my asana is making me to dive deep into the posture without having the thought to come out of it.
Right.
So it is a very, very contemplative Patanjali, it is a very, very contemplative sutra. And all the sutras of Patanjali's are very, very contemplative. If you just understand one sutra, every sutra, 195 sutras of Patanjali Yoga Sutra is totally understood.
Mm.
This is the beauty of Patanjali Yoga Sutra.
Yeah.
And then we go to the pranayama.
Right.
We are practicing some yamas, we are practicing some niyamas, we are practicing some asanas. After some time we go to the pranayama. So pranayama again, restraining of breath, or controlling the flow of the breath. Different definitions.
Yeah, I guess learning how to use it as well, you know, like, because we breathe automatically and we don't pay attention to that, but once you can connect with the also with the intention of the breath, I guess, you can manage some states in yourself a bit, right?
Pranayama is more just like you said, and there's a practices of different techniques of breath regulation and all. But pranayama is that beautiful practice of just knowing your breath. How is my breath flowing in and out? That's it.
I loved in the class when you talk about the agitation of the breath and the mind, like can you be in the posture without agitation? Can you get to your goal without agitation? You know, like, that was beautiful. And because we don't realize how much, how much agitated our breath is in our daily life or in certain situations. So only we could just realize that, like, be aware of how agitated we are in some situations, we could, like, make big changes in our life, right?
This is what pranayama is. Pranayama inspires us. How can I achieve a simple rhythm in my breath throughout my life?
Yeah.
For that purpose, we have different techniques. Suryabhidhan Pranayama, Nadi Chodhan Pranayama, Ujjayi Pranayama, Shitali Pranayama, Shitkari Pranayama, and etc. etc. Main purpose is how my mind is enjoying the stillness of my breath. So when I am having my mind which is not getting disturbed, my breath, Chale Vate Chalam Chittam. If my mind is not getting disturbed with my breath, that means I am now ready for certain meditative practices.
Right.
Asana, physical.
You allow some things to be seen as well, and and felt,
Asanas, physical. Yeah. Pranayama, breath. Prana, regulation of prana. So can I have this ability to join the asanas and pranayama together to sit comfortably in a meditative posture for as much as you can.
Not 11 hours. Not necessary.
It's not necessary. It's actually not necessary.
Yeah. I mean, it was for me in the course. I feel like it was worth every second of effort. But yeah, I mean, in your daily practice, if you live an agitated life or like a busy life or like a full life, you know, then of course, like, how much time will be possible?
And one more beautiful thing about pranayama is, in simple language we say, practice of inhalation and exhalation and retention. So when we inhale, we start with the exhalation. After the end of inhalation, exhalation starts. So there is a very little pause after each inhale and exhale. Pranayama says, how can you develop that pause? Why pause? Because again, mind is running, just like a monkey. One roof to another. So if you come to Rishikesh, lots of monkeys,
yeah.
Lots of minds. Okay, but if you just try to see the stillness between the inhalation and exhalation, that is very, very beautiful. So pranayama says, can you enjoy the stillness after each inhale and exhale?
Mm.
Because again, chale vate chalam chittam. As the mind goes, so does the breath. So if my breath is stopped, my mind is stopped. And when my mind is stopped, it's like a true mirror in front of me to which I am reflecting upon. So I'm able to just have my own darshan. Have my own darshan. Darshan, how do you say darshan in English? I don't know. Darshan. Darshan is, I'm sorry for my English. Darshan is like being blessed with someone's presence.
Okay.
Being blessed with someone's presence. Yeah. So when I'm just, my mind is so clear, mind is so calm that the mirror, there is no fog, there is no mist on my mirror, and that mist, that mirror is so clear that I'm having my own darshanam, and I'm so blessed to see my own reflection of my soul. That is a pranayama.
Beautiful.
And when we are going for the pranayama, then we are going for some pratyahara practice, withdrawal, something from this. And then we are going for dharana, dhyana and samadhi. So dharana, dhyana, samadhi are more of like a antaranga yoga sadhana. Antaranga yoga sadhana, sadhana, the practices which is for the internal or inner world. From yamas, niyamas,
and they are reached through the meditation, right?
Yes.
Okay, the breaths of meditation.
Yeah.
Okay.
From niyamas, yamas, niyamas, asana, pranayama, pratyahara. These are the bahirang sadhana. Means sadhana to just work on your external things and then just see yourself. That's it. And when the external, when you're not stimulated by the external information, the stimulus, then it's the time to just dive deep into yourself. It's something like diving deep into the ocean,
right,
which is inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are saying diving deep into the ocean, that means the power of an ocean or the power of a water is to purify. So when I'm diving deep into the ocean within me, that means I am now purifying myself. I'm now purifying myself for the other journey, the more evolved journey of my soul.
Mm.
That is the stillness.
Mm.
This is the practice of dharana, dhyana. And samadhi?
Please.
I don't know.
We wish.
We wish, yeah. I don't know.
Maybe later on. Wow. Yeah, it's a long path, but it's very rich.
Samadhi is very subjective.
Yeah.
Very, very subjective. So, I wish to just...
No words for that.
I wish to just stay in silence.
Yeah, of course. That's very respectful. Yeah, of course. Wow, that's been beautiful. Okay, so I have two more questions to make you that I always ask in this podcast. What do you think that the world needs the most right now?
I feel the... I'm being the part of the world. I think there is a very, very important need to have the differentiation between the needs and the wants.
Mm-hmm.
What are my needs and what are my wants? So needs are my like basic needs.
Mm-hmm.
Wants are everything.
Yeah.
So can I just have this sense of clarity? What are my needs and wants? When I am very, very clear from my needs and wants, I feel that all these things which are going around in this modern world right now, there's global warming, deforestation, pollution, and everything will be just so and so sorted out. Because we try to accumulate more and more, even though we don't want it.
We these don't are wants. Need it. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need it. Yes.
Even though we don't want it, that's so true. Yes.
Exactly. We don't want it, but we are accumulating. What is happening? We are accumulating, we don't want it, and then we are making the natural resources to go deplete, and the coming generation will suffer because they don't have the natural resources. So there is a very, very dire need to just know what are my needs and my wants. Can I just stay satisfied with this? This is again the yoga practice comes, to just stay, have this sense of aparigraha, non-grasping.
Non-grasping.
Can I have this aparigraha? That means, no, I don't need it. It's okay. I don't want it actually. Let's keep it for the future generation. Let's keep it for the coming time.
Right.
Yeah. And if I am very, very enjoying this moment, that now when I'm enjoying this differentiation between the needs and wants, I think that there won't be any war also. No wars. No Syria, no Iraq, no ISIS, nothing. Simple, a world full of unity, a world enjoying yoga. It's like hugging yourself every time and then.
Yeah. Feeling no separation. But I mean, what would it be a good way to want? Like, or how could clarify our wants?
Sorry?
How could we clarify our wants? Like, what would be a good way to want? You know, like, is there a way?
Simply watch your lifestyle and simply watch your...
I mean, sorry, just for me to clarify, like, because you said, like, distinguish between your needs and your wants, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you implying that wanting is bad?
Too much of want is bad.
Okay.
We need wants.
Right. Exactly. Guess not necessarily, but there is also like a limit for that one, right?
It's always a limit. If I'm having so much of wants, I'm again compensating on my needs.
Yeah.
Hunger, sleep, thirst, shelter.
When your wants are like compromising your needs, then they are not worth it.
Psychological problems.
Right. Yeah, because I feel like our society, Western society, it tends to promote your wants a lot, you know? And it's like, the more you want, the better. You have to be the best.
Exactly.
And go for it and want it and do it, and, you know? And so when you are not in that path, sometimes you feel a little bit awkward. It's like, oh, but I don't have desires. I don't want wants. Like, what is wrong with me, you know? But I guess that's a good definition. So when you want, like, compromise your needs, then there is no need to do that. I mean, there's no worth in doing that.
Yeah.
Because the needs are the things that are gonna make you survive, you know? Yeah. Wow.
It's all about nurturing the needs only. That is why if you see some saints who are living in the Himalayas, they don't have any car, they don't have any helicopter, they are just living in a simple cave, they are thriving on the nature, they are living with the nature, they are just listening to the sounds of the nature, and that's it. So they are just having hunger, sleep, thirst, shelter, that's it.
Yeah.
They are still enjoying.
Right.
The less the wants, the more clarity in the mind.
Yeah.
The more pratyahara is happening.
Yeah, I guess the question then is how we progress. I mean, in you know, like, question mark, I mean. But yeah, I do agree that we need to restore our connection with nature and our cycles, and I feel like our wants have created too much disconnection between what is very important and is to preserve life, you know. And it's not just a how can I say that? It's not just a thought. It's a real thing happening right now, as you said, as you mentioned, that there is so much natural disasters right now. It's a call, like Mother Nature is calling us. Like, so many wars as well. So in that,
I think Patanjali Yoga Sutra was very, very confident that that would happen in future. I think that that is why he gave, okay, let's give yamas and niyamas to the people also. So practicing yamas and niyamas to watch your wants.
All right. And okay, and then the other question I ask is like, what moves you from your inside? Like, if you could say something about yourself that moves you, what would that be? What would that be? Like, what do you think is your purpose in life?
I'm coming from a Sikh family, Sikh religion. So in my religion, I'm so grateful to the universe. I'm so grateful to my parents that they made me to come in this world, and in their sharing with them, my family and my parents. So I'm coming from the Sikh religion. So Sikh religion is all about service. Sikh, actually, if we try to translate this, Sikh means the disciple. So Sikh means a disciple. So I am very, very grateful that I am the disciple. The disciple does not have any ego. Disciple does not have any ego. So just disciple is just sitting and folding the hands in Namaste Mudra and learning something from a higher energy. So Sikhism is all about service. Sikhism is all about bhakti, devotion. So how can we do the bhakti, do the devotion with the service? This is Sikhism. And I think this is the purpose of my life also, to just serve the society and simply do the bhakti. That's it. So this yoga is like a tool for my bhakti. So yoga is like a devotion for me and a service to the humanity. This is my purpose of life, to just serve the people out there and share whatever I have taken from my parents, from my mother and from my father, from my grandfather, from my grandmother, everyone.
Yeah, right.
And to share their thoughts and just act as a medium to just inspire and let people know that what they want to know or what they actually need. Again, need. What they actually need rather than want. Right. So this is my purpose of my life.
That's what moves you.
It moves me a lot. It moves me a lot. So it's like, it's like something coming from my heart center.
Right. Oh, I love that in the class. That was so good for me. Like, to be aware of breathing from my chest, from the center of my heart, and translating that into a physical practice was awesome. It made a difference for sure. And yeah.
Thank you.
Not saying, not counting what that symbolically means, you know, like breathing from your center, from your heart center, and making a space, you know, as you talk to us after class, like this realization or understanding of the heart being a space to expand. That's also beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see. Okay, well then, to end, maybe you want to invite people to your school, to your teachings. Maybe something you want to say about your dad. He's not here at the moment because he's touring in Germany. But let's just shortly say something about him. And invite people. Tell the people who are listening to us right now what you can offer here, why they should come here and take the programs with you.
Swasti Yoga, the meaning of Swasti is let good prevail. Let good prevail. So if everyone is ready to have the sense of goodness, to have the sense of goodness within them, they are most welcome to Swasti Yoga. They are heartily welcome without any hesitation. They are mostly welcome over here. And here at Swasti Yoga, we offer some courses related to yoga. Hopefully, we'll be conducting some classes for meditation, pranayama, yoga therapy. And here in Swasti Yoga, we don't go for money. Yes, we need money to eat. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It is also a need. Okay.
Yeah.
But we don't believe on over exploitation. So this is the thing which I am carrying from my parents. This is the thing which I am carrying from my father and my mother. So just don't make fool of people. So just give whatever they want, and in a very, very humble way. So just come here and enjoy the energy over here. That's it.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Is there a website they can visit?
Yes, you can visit www.swastiyoga.com.
How do you spell Swasti Yoga? So people know.
SWASTIYOGA.com.
Excellent.
And
you can stay here, right?
Yes, you can stay here. You can stay. Yeah, you can stay here and practice yoga.
Room and board and practice yoga, and then the prices will be discussed.
Okay.
Are they in the website?
Prices can be discussed.
Okay, cool.
Prices
yeah,
can be discussed.
So people want to be trained in hatha yoga.
And talking about my father.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, of course.
He's a very nice guy.
I bet he is.
What to say now?
No, I don't know. If you want to, but
he's very nice, and he's an inspiration for me. Exactly. And some people say that I talk like him, I walk like him, I teach like him. But I feel that yes, people are saying that means they are watching something within me. But for me, it is like a very big blessing that I'm just, if I'm able to compare myself from only to his big toe, that I was only his big toe, that would be an accomplishment for me. So for me, father is very, he's an inspiration for me, and same like my mother also. So my mother and my father, they are like awesome people.
Yes, I believe you. I don't know them in person, but I believe you. I surely like.
That is why I try to
interchange some words with your dad. He was super kind. Yeah.
That is why I try to give gratitude at the end of the class. That thanks to the parents for this beautiful life. I always and always try to say this when the class ends. So this. It is because of my parents I came into this life. So I'm carrying the energies of them, and I will be sharing their energy forward. So it's a blessing for me to just be with their child, and I hope everyone is very lucky.
Yeah.
Everyone is lucky, and please respect your parents and love your parents. It's very beautiful. Just it's like a living God on this earth.
Yeah.
Worship your God. That's it.
Yeah. Even though sometimes relationships are not very easy, there is always a blessing in every experience, isn't it?
If relationships are very happy, there is no learning.
Right.
So if we want to learn something, there are ups and downs. We always and always look at the darker side. Can I have this ability to look at the lighter, brighter side? So this brighter side has to be looked upon. Be very optimistic. So again, yoga, not only doing the yoga, it's like living the yoga.
Mm.
So don't worry about relationships. Sometimes I fight with my father.
Right, of course.
I fight with my mother.
You still can be grateful for them.
Yes, I'm very grateful that, okay, I'm so grateful that I'm fighting with my father and he's not saying me anything.
Yeah, it's just sometimes we tend to focus on and the problems that we have with them, and then we don't see the blessings that we have given to us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just the fact that they gave us life, that should be enough to be grateful for the whole run, huh? Yes.
Bad things happens.
Yeah.
We don't have to look into it. Don't worry. We have so much to explore good within us that we don't have to worry. We should not worry about the bad things. Life is ups and downs. So relationships goes ups and downs.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you cannot get away from your pain. It's like a nail.
Mm.
You cannot separate the nail from the skin. If you separate the nail from the skin, it's very painful.
Mm.
It is a separation. So living with parents, living with father like him and mother like her is like living in the temple.
Mm.
It's like living in the temple and living in always in an ashram.
Mm.
Just watching them and fighting with them, loving them and enjoying them. That's it.
Right. Wow. Okay. Vikram,
thank you
so much for your kind words.
Thank you.
Very instructive, very knowledgeable. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay.
It's my honor to be here. And yeah, maybe a goodbye for Movida and the people who are listening to us.
Hello, everyone. Please enjoy your practice, enjoy life. And whenever you come to Rishikesh, you're most welcome here.
Yeah.
And please stay connected to Karina. She's a very nice lady.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening up to the end of this conversation. I know the recording wasn't the best quality ever. It was a very busy day at the school, so we did our best, but the content of the conversation was really nice. I'm really happy I had this opportunity to talk to Vikramji and be part of his classes. Please share this conversation if you feel like you have learned something and it will be informative for other people. Please keep following Movida, keep following Con Movida, this podcast to make you move, feel and create. I'll see you soon in the next episode. Bye-bye.